That's right, it's Friday, folks, and you've tuned in to the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Jeff Farias, concluding a week here on the Mike Malloy Show. Been having a great time, in due large part to all of you good people who've been calling in and keeping the conversation going. I appreciate it greatly. Got a special guest coming up later in the program at the bottom of this hour. Mikey Weinstein will be joining us. Mikey is the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and author of With God on Our Side. Should be an interesting conversation starting at the bottom of this hour. Rest of the day, rest of the evening, it's you and me. Going to open up the phone lines, do, as always, heavily caller-driven radio right here at 1-800-989-1480. We are streaming on novamradio.com. You can also get podcasts of this very program over there as well. Since it's Friday, I thought I'd share a little bit of the Daily Show. Last night, Jon Stewart did a piece looking at the president's recent comments regarding war funding, withdrawals, and what success in Iraq means. So enjoy this. It's a couple of minutes long, and we'll come back on the other side.
If you remember, 2 weeks ago, congressional Democrats passed an Iraq spending bill that tied benchmark deadlines for United States withdrawal to war funding. Reaction from the president was swift.
In return for you spending that money, it's your money after all, it makes sense for government to say, is it working? Are we meeting objectives?
I'm sorry, wait, that was from a speech on No Child Left Behind. I'm sorry. This is him on the Iraq funding bill.
So I vetoed the bill.
That's better. Woo! Seriously, eighth grade English teachers must be held accountable for test scores, but Iraq... You know,
but the Democrats came back with another plan to provide half the war funding now, with the other half contingent on a progress report in July. That one got shot down, too. But still, on both sides of the aisle, everyone agrees the Iraq situation's got to change and fast. But White House spokesman Tony Snow wants everyone to understand that Iraq's not going to turn around overnight after 4.5 years.
Please avoid the idea that Iraq is like Oz, and one day it's going to be black and white, and the next day you're going to wake up and it's color.
Still, with all the uncertainty, it really does make you start to wonder, what is victory in Iraq?
Victory in Iraq is a country that can sustain itself, govern itself, and defend itself.
Really? Half the nations in the Coalition of the Willing can't do that. Seriously, I'm looking at you, Marshall Islands. You want a peace? Seriously, that's a tall order. Can we really stick to that plan?
We will never back down. We will never give in. And we will never accept anything less than complete victory.
Yes! Then we're good to go. We got a clear definition of victory. All that's left is to stay with it, and then we get one of them sign-in ceremonies on the battleship.
There will not be a signing ceremony on the deck of a battleship.
Really? Because don't you think that'd be pretty cool?
There will be no surrender ceremony on the deck of a battleship.
Okay, you don't have to be a dick about it. But so then, we're all clear, though, on what constitutes success. There's no challenges there.
It's one of the challenges I have to explain to the American people what Iraq will look like in a situation that will enable us to say we have accomplished our mission.
I thought you did that 4 years ago. The beacon of freedom in the Middle East, government that can sustain itself, bulwark against terrorism. What are we saying success is now?
Iraq will be a society in which there is relative peace. I say relative peace because if it's like zero car bombings, it never will happen that way.
See, you can't have zero car bombings because a successful Iraq would just have too many cars. I mean, some of them are just bound to explode. All right, so that's relative peace. So that's success, right?
The definition of success, as I described, is, you know, sectarian violence down. Success is not no violence.
Success is not no violence. But we will never give up. We stay with that. We will never give up. We will never give up until there is not no violence. But at least less. And then we will succeed. Yes?
Either we'll succeed, or we won't succeed.
Yes, either we'll succeed, or we won't succeed. And again, success is not no violence. He followed that up with a short segment with Asif Mandi, their supposed Baghdad correspondent. I'll play that in a later segment. That was pretty well done as well. Let's see if I can sneak a phone call in here. Let's go to Larry in Cleveland, Ohio. Larry, welcome.
I was wondering, the people in this country are trying to impeach this guy. They're trying to go after this the attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they just indict them under the RICO Act of the continuing conspiracy of organized crime? It would be very simple.
Well, it would take a U.S. attorney to do that, I believe, and all of them.
If somebody brought charges, how is he going to not do anything?
Right, that's a great idea.
He'd make a fool out of himself, wouldn't he? I mean,
I think they're beyond that. I think they're beyond that. The attorney general has been making a fool of himself on a daily basis over there.
Well, if one person does it, another person just do it every day. There with 100,000 people do it.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea, Larry. I'm not sure exactly, you know, the legality of who would need to generate a suit like that. I don't know if a citizen can start it or if it takes.
I have no idea. If a citizen started, he loses his house and his bank account and everything else.
That's part of the climate of fear they've been building up around us.
Something has to be done,
mm-hmm.
and to impeach the man, it takes too long.
Right.
That's how they got the mafia.
Right. Right.
The RICO Act. Starts out, you can indict a dead person. So start with Bush's grandfather and go all the way down. Take everything away from him, all of his money and everything else.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. I doubt it's going to come out of from this country. I think
I call the I call the congressman up. He says, "Well, why don't you do it?" I said, "You know something? I don't know where you went to law school, but I said that was a very brilliant idea. You telling me to do it?"
Right, right. Well, if any citizen can do it, why not you, Larry? It was your idea. You should get the credit for it.
I was thinking of it.
Yeah,
you got to get a lawyer to write it up, though.
Right, right. Yeah, actually, I have some friends who are attorneys. I will ask that question to see what it takes and see what's involved and if it's something a citizen can bring or you need to be a U.S. attorney to file RICO suit or how that works. I to be honest, I have no idea.
Well, if somebody files it, what is the U.S. attorney going to do?
Right. Yeah.
He has to answer it, doesn't he?
I'm a little out of my purview. I have no idea about the legalities of if there's an attorney listening who wants to pipe in and clarify.
They
that,
all come under it because, number one, count one out of probably another 122 counts is worth the missing money.
Right. In Iraq, yeah.
They're responsible for that.
Yep.
But anyway, you run a good show.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
My pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Same here. Yeah. Have a good weekend. And it is Mother's Day weekend. Do you call your moms on Sunday? Let's go to Armand in Florida. Armand, you on the air.
Yeah, he does bring up a good point. Where's all the missing money from the Pentagon that Rumsfeld was talking about? Where's the investigation for that? We got Democrats in now, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do.
Well, instead of joining hands with that criminal regime and ripping off the middle class with trade deals... And leaving the borders open, why don't they join hands with some good attorneys? There's enough of them in Washington, and go after this bunch. There's plenty to get them on.
You should check out Henry Waxman's website. That's pretty much what he's doing.
Well, let's get it rolling.
Yeah, it is rolling. I mean, Henry Waxman is out there setting up these investigations constantly. He has an entire team of investigators going after this stuff, and he's bringing these cases up one at a time. We're just not hearing about it in the mainstream press, and only the real political junkies who are tuned into C-SPAN or who visit Waxman's website on a regular basis hear anything about it.
Well, what about on Randy Rhoads' show today? Did you hear her talking about the caller, the gentleman calling up, Wayne Manson, that used to be CIA?
Yeah,
talking
sure.
Talking about ABC blacking out all that story about...
About Cheney and the hookers?
Yeah. Yeah, this is totally unacceptable. This is absolutely... Where's the Christian right now? The morality portraying Christian right, where are they right now? Where's Jerry Falwell and Pat Robinson? If it's true Cheney was using prostitutes, where are they right now? I want to know where they're at.
They ought to be stepping up and denouncing it as they would if it was a Democrat doing it, that's for sure.
I don't think, and I want to say something else too, if I may, please.
You make it quick. I got the music going already.
I think this Romney, I think he is the slimiest looking Republican that ever put axle grease on his hair.
Which Romney? There's a couple of them out there. They have conflicting opinions.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, oh, I know, but I mean, there's two Mitt Romneys. It depends on who he's speaking to that day.
Yeah, right.
You gotta go, Armin. Thanks for your call, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with lots more of the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, Waxman's website, oversight.house.gov. Check it out. We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Ferris, sitting in for Mike all week long. This is Friday's episode. I'll be back on Monday for one more. Malloy will be back behind the mic on Tuesday the 15th. The phone number is 1-800-989-1480. Give us a holler if you want to weigh in. This is Asif Mandi from last night's Daily Show. It's a short segment, and then I'll get right back on the phones.
We're not asking them to do anything we don't do ourselves. I mean, Tony Snow made that point last week.
Washington for many years was the money capital of the United States of America. I believe we were still able to do our jobs.
But that's insane. Washington, D.C. is violent, but they're not, you know, finding 30 to 50 corpses in the street every day.
Well, no, of course not. It's not Baltimore. But... Snow is right. Washington, D.C. was the murder capital, and it didn't keep Snow and company from heading to the office.
But I remember they had the snipers down there a couple of years ago. The entire city shut down.
Well, that's different. The snipers were randomly shooting white people. That's just not right.
But, Asif, Washington's improved crime rate is supposedly analogous to what this administration believes will happen in Baghdad?
Yes. Iraq just hasn't found its Marion Barry yet. It will. Actually, I'm not sure they have crack here yet, but we're getting there.
Asif Mandi on The Daily Show. First up in the queue, John in California. You're on the air. What's on your mind, John?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And I've been getting real frustrated hearing some of this commentary and characterization of the war, kind of revisionist history. The first comment I have is, I want people to remember we used to have those no-fly zones over Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? I mean, over two-thirds of the country, I think we controlled their airspace. Now, how big of a threat for somebody like us that's across the pond is another country, you know, we're occupying their airspace like that? And then, you know, we've got this whole civil war, guerrilla war thing going on. And, you know, they interview some of these troops sometimes with their families, and they're like, well, you know, we're over here defending America's freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, refresh my memory, how many Iraqis were in the planes that crashed into, you know, the towers, or they were going over Washington, D.C.?
Right. Yeah, there's no threat, you know, from Iraq. Yeah, that's pretty much been, yeah, absolutely.
And sorry to interrupt you. Dawned on me is, I think what this is old, like, Cold War brainwashing coming out, you know, where, like, the communists were going to take away our American life. And I actually studied the Soviet Union for several years, both culture and economy, and they were barely making ends meet, you know? I mean, they couldn't even defeat Afghanistan, and they shared a border with it.
Right. Well, there's a great documentary that the BBC did called Power of Nightmares, and they talk about the whole the Pentagon and the CIA during the late 70s and into the 80s were completely exaggerating the threat from the Soviets in order for a military buildup. And actually, there was one instance that they talk about in the movie where the CIA put this black op out, this PSYOP out there, where they were throwing out this, all this misinformation about the Soviet Union. And then the Pentagon got a hold of that information, turned and took it to the president as justification for upping the military against the threat against the Soviets. And the CIA went and said, no, we made that stuff up. It's not true. And they're like, forget, you know, Casey's like, swept it under the rug. And they use it to justify this huge arms buildup under Reagan.
Yeah, there's actually a flaw in comparative economics when you compare the economies of two different countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oranges are going to be more expensive to produce in Siberia than they are in Florida.
Right,
but if you just, you know, say they cost the same when you're doing your comparison, and that's part of how they actually mathematically, you know, inflated that.
Right.
But it's just so frustrating when basically what they're doing is questioning the patriotism and, heck, even the intelligence of people that are criticizing the war. And, you know, I mean, I know I'm not saying anything new, but it's just so frustrating to hear people say this. It's like we're using a little critical thinking, people.
Yeah, even more frustrating is the mainstream media people who let them get away with it. Thanks a lot for your call, John.
Thank you.
Hey, it's the Molloy Show. We'll be right back after these important messages. Stick around. Mikey Weinstein will be with us. Hey, we're back. It's the Mike Molloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. My name's Jeff Farias, sitting in for Molloy all week long, joined by a very special guest by telephone. Mikey Weinstein is with us. He's the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and the author of With God on Our Side. Mikey, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to speak with you. Now, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, you started that a little over a year ago. What's the mission of your organization, and why did you decide to start it?
Well, we actually started it in December of 2005, and yes, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation is a nonprofit. It focuses, we're the only organization, the only nonprofit that focuses with laser-like precision where all the nukes are, to make sure that we keep the separation of church and state, and we profoundly support our noble and honorable sailors, soldiers, Marines, and airmen, and veterans, you know, rights to have their own faith or no faith at all. In other words, we help them fight against one group of religious predators known as evangelical fundamentalist or dominionist Christians, and the listeners can find us. I think you'd be fascinated to see this story. The website is www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org, and we're basically trying to prevent the U.S. military from becoming a Christian Taliban, though it's most of the way there now.
Now, this is a story that's quite personal to you. You had your sons at the Air Force Academy encountered some harassment over religion, didn't they?
It wasn't just some harassment. It was a very calculated inundation. My daughter-in-law too. She graduated from the academy, and she's Christian. But she was found that she wasn't Christian enough. She was quote requested by a one-star general to go harvest non-Christian cadets and bring them to Ted Haggard's New Life Church for their very colorful, you know, Easter passion play called The Thorn.
Wow.
Basically, it started at the Air Force Academy when I found out, you know, when Mel Gibson's movie came out, Jeff, I forget the name, I think it was called The Jesus Chainsaw Massacre Freddy versus Jesus.
Yeah.
And when I found out that most of the cadets there and the staff, 10,000 strong, were being, you know, almost just incredibly pressured and coerced to go see this movie, I thought it was an anomaly at first. You know, this is February of 2004, and here we are now in, you know, in almost the summer of 2007. And it was, it's not just something that happened at my school, the Air Force Academy. And, you know, my youngest son, God willing, graduates in, you know, 19 days, and he'll be the sixth member of my family. He is the sixth member of my family to go there. We have three consecutive generations of military academy graduates in my family, including myself at the Air Force Academy. My dad graduated from the Naval Academy. And in our immediate family, we have over 120 years of combined active duty military service, pretty much in every major combat engagement the country's been in, from World War One to the current so-called global war on terror. I mean, I'm a Republican. Our family has a long military history, and particularly at the academy. So I know the religious right would much prefer for me, you know, to be, I guess, a Chardonnay-sipping, Northern California, Bleeding Heart, Sierra Club, you know, tree-hugging Democrat. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that, you know, but I'm not.
But you're not just any Republican. You're actually a member of the Reagan White House. You're a House counsel.
One of the things I did there was to actually, it was the committee management officer and for the Iran-Contra investigation. So my point is that when my family is seeing what's happening, we're hoping that it has, you know, has a certain aspect of credibility. How widespread is it? Well, for the listeners of the Mike Malloy show tonight, hosted by you, Jeff, if they can just remember two numbers, that alone will be huge. And the numbers are 737 and 132. That would be 137, the 737 and 132. We now have 737 U.S. military installations that the Pentagon acknowledges that they, that we have. It's actually closer to 1,000 that are scattered around the planet as we garrison the globe in 132 countries around the world. And every one of them now has an officer's Christian fellowship for the officers and a Christian military fellowship for the enlisted. They, that organ, these organizations have a three-part level, a tripartite, three-level goal that the folks that are in it, which are significant members of the command elements, generals, up and up and down the chain of command, view much more potently than the oaths that they all swore out, you know, to swear to support to and defend, protect, and preserve the Constitution. The first goal is they want to see a spiritually transformed U.S. military. Goal number two, with ambassadors for Christ in uniform, their words, not mine.
Wow.
Goal number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you think about the fact that on Tuesday, July 12, 2005, where was America? Where were we all? When on the front page of the newspaper, Jeff, most reviled by the Pentagon, most hated by the Pentagon, which of course is the New York Times, the number two ranking general, the number two ranking, you know, Air Force officer in the, in the entire chaplain's corps of thousands, Brigadier General Cecil R. Richardson, made the unbelievable statement that it was now U.S. Air Force policy to, quote, reserve its right to evangelize anyone that it determined to be unchurched, whatever the hell that means.
Wow.
You know, and it's so, amazing.
So this isn't just some rogue element at the Air Force Academy.
Oh, no, my God, it started there.
This is a coordinated, organized effort throughout the world. This is amazing.
Essentially, exactly. Jeff, basically, our Pentagon is now a Pentecostal gone, and our Department of Defense has become a faith-based initiative.
Wow.
And, you know, here we are. You know, we defeated Hitler, Mussolini, and Tojo in 44 months in World War II without having to become Hitler, Mussolini, and Tojo. Are we going to have to become the Christian Taliban to defeat this Taliban? Because, you know, I'll tell you something. It's not just the separation of church and state, which, of course, is in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution, which went into effect in December of 1791, because I know the religious right views that as just a myth, like, you know, Popeye and Paul Bunyan, the Easter Bunny, Bigfoot. We don't even go to the Bill of Rights. Just stay in the actual body of the Constitution, showing how incredibly prescient our framers were, our constitutional founding fathers, when they put in there that, you know, we in Clause 3, Article 6, we will never have a religion test for any position in the federal government. I guess except if you're in the U.S. Air Force, where you're going to hold up a religion religious Geiger counter to everybody in the world, and if it comes back indicating that you're unchurched, well, they're going to reserve their right to evangelize. Just my wife and I, of course, raised our hands because we have three kids in the U.S. Air Force, two of them academy graduates, one about to be, and you know, we said, excuse me, U.S. Air Force, do our children fall on that Richard Nixon-era enemies list of being, quote, unchurched? And if so, we now demand to know, are you or are you not going to exercise your reserve right to evangelize our children?
Wow. This is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. You were in Iowa this week.
I was in Iowa protecting the rights of a very, very brave man by the name of David Miller, a decorated Navy petty officer.
Mm-hmm.
Dave was unfortunately left the military service, and it was the service, the Veterans Administration, that decided he was 100% disabled. He had a horrible series of kidney stones. For anybody here on the Mike Malloy Show, again, guest hosted by you, Jeff, tonight, that's ever had one, and I've had two. It is the most excruciating pain you can imagine. I mean, the first 30 minutes I had mine, I thought I was going to die. The last 4 hours, I wanted to die. It's extremely painful. David has to deal with this all the time. He recently moved to Iowa City, Iowa. While he was there, of course, he experienced the perpetuality of these kidney stone conditions as well as very painful angina.
Mm-hmm.
He's the divorced father of four sons. His sole income is his very meager VA pension, so he completely relies on everything, you know, on the compassion of the Veterans Administration, particularly the hospital. He noted when he went into this hospital that the overtly Christian accoutrements were everywhere. Everywhere he went, and he's an Orthodox Jew, wherever he went, people asked him why he wouldn't accept Christ.
Wow.
When he was thrice, not once or twice, but three times hospitalized, I'm not sure if it was the ICU or not, he was hooked up to life support equipment, heart monitors, and still the Assemblies of God, government-paid VA chaplains, refusing to his direct written orders that he put down for admission, not to see a Christian chaplain. He wanted to see a rabbi. Refused to stop evangelizing him and just covering him in pamphlets and Christian tracts. At one point, screaming in pain, he begged for a nurse to make the chaplain go away.
Wow.
It made no difference. And then when he complained to the upper level management of the VA hospital, he was unbelievably told that he wasn't trying strenuously enough to protest this. I guess he needs to bring in Anthony Soprano the next time he comes in.
Jesus.
So we held a press conference yesterday. We are going to file a federal lawsuit. And this, you know, again, we see this all over the VA. You know, it seems as though the DVA is supposed to stand for the Department of Veterans Affairs, you know, not Disabled Veterans Annihilation or, you know, divinity lessons for veterans we accept. And then he went to go see his doctor last week. The physician looked at him and, you know, David is in tremendous pain from these kidney stones, refused to give him any pain medication, didn't explain why, just looked at him and said, tapped him on the knee and said, well, you're a religious Jew, aren't you? David said, yes. And the doctor said, go home and pray your Jewish prayers and meditate. So I guess it was, you know, take two Jewish prayers and call me in the morning. We see this all the time, Jeff.
Unbelievable.
Here's the thing that's shocking. 4,200, give or take, members of the U.S. military, you know, Marines, airmen, soldiers, and sailors and veterans have come to our foundation, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Again, please, everybody, write it down, check it out, www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. 96% of those coming to us are Christians themselves, roughly three-fourths traditional Protestants, you know, Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Assemblies of God, Church of Christ, even Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
One-fourth are generally Roman Catholic of that 96%, and the remaining 4 or 5% are going to be generally the minority religious faith, Jewish, Muslim,
mm-hmm.
Buddhist, Hindu, Jain, Wiccan, atheist, agnostic. This is basically extreme fundamentalist Christians known as Dominionist Christians praying, Jeff, P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y, on
mm-hmm.
fellow Christians, saying, you know what, you may think you're a Christian, you're not Christian enough for us by our test, and as a result, you will burn eternally in the fires of hell along with the Jews.
And they're going to help them on the way. I was reading in the Des Moines Register had an article, today's Des Moines Register, that he's denied kosher food while he's on the house.
Yes, each time, his first three visits, and he was in agony, and the VA regulations require there to be kosher food. Listen, you go on a cruise ship, on an airplane,
mm-hmm.
On a train. You go to a high school football banquet, they have kosher food.
Right.
And the VA regulations require this. They let him sit there, this man in excruciating pain. No one reached out to get any food for him.
They refused to contact the rabbi who could have brought him some kosher
exactly,
food.
Exactly. The rabbi was never contacted. For the patient's in-processing, they do it in the overtly Christian chapel that has the 12 stations of the cross. And listen, none of this is not a Christian-Jewish issue. It's a Dominionist, Evangelical, Fundamentalist Christian issue versus the Constitution.
Hippocratic Oath as well.
That's exactly right. No one should have to be, reviled or repulsed or,
mm-hmm.
Made sport of or humiliated because of their religious faith. But for the love of God, this is America.
Yeah, unbelievable. Hey, Mike, we got to take a break. When we come back, I have some callers lining up. I have some questions for you as well. We're talking with Mikey Weinstein, founder of Military Religious Freedom Foundation and the author of With God on Our Side. We'll be right back after these messages.
I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Hey, we're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike all week long. We're here with Mikey Weinstein, founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He's also an author. He wrote a book called With God on Our Side. He has been fighting the rise of dominionists and evangelicals in the United States military. Welcome back, Mikey.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, I want to get a few callers in on the conversation, if that's all right with you.
Great.
First up is Tom in Phoenix. Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, I got a couple things to say. First off, I'm ashamed. That's from my home state of Iowa there that's happening. First, you, Jeff, you're doing a great job covering for Mike this week.
Thank you, sir.
But you can't leave without you saying these four, one of these four expressions, or if not all. These sons of bitches, these bastards, chuckle nuts. Or have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these people? Then it'd be complete.
I'll work it in the last segment.
Yeah, that'd be great. Now, your guest there. I love the work you're doing. I think it's fantastic. I remember, I'll get to the Wiccan thing in a second here, but when you're talking about Nazi Hitler and things like that, if you notice how a lot of regimes, the fascist regimes that pop up, especially when you look at the Nazi regime, it always goes the take over the press first, then the one religion militarism. And that is the pattern that I see here. You know, make it all, it's always under the name of Christ. And I'm glad that you're fighting the fight to make sure that this doesn't happen, because when they start doing that, then you're looking at another crusade almost, or some kind of sick takeover. About, was it 2 months ago, a month ago, the Pentagon allowed, finally, the Wiccan pentacle to be allowed on the tombstone.
Right.
And for a lot of us, because we know Christianity does have pagan roots, whether or not the Christians want to believe this or not, And I was wondering if you guys had anything to do with this acceptance finally, because there's been to be a Wiccan is really hard to do because there's so many in my case I'm more pagan, but there's so many misconceptions about this particular religion, and to have that kind of acceptance is like a major, major deal. But did you guys help fight for this, or have you ever had to defend someone of our particular faith?
And I'm going to I take it that you are a Wiccan.
Yes, he is actually.
I mentioned before that about 4 to 5% of our cases are Wiccan, Baha'i, Jewish, Islamic, Buddhist, or Hindu. Indeed, we have had a number of Wiccan clients. I can tell you that we'll never be able to know if that's the reason why the government backed down. There are 10,000, give or take, recognized religions on the planet. Wow. Most of them have some invisible entity that wrote a book that has them in opposition with the other 9,999. But I'd like to mention something that, because I think you raise a good point. Shortly after the Super Bowl, I was contacted by the Kyoto News Service, which is the, as you may know, Jeff, the Associated Press, as it were, for the Far East based in Tokyo. They asked if they could send out their Washington bureau chief all the way out to my home in Albuquerque to do a feature on me in Japanese. And I said, of course, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of press, but this was interesting to me. And they came out the day after the Super Bowl, spent a day with me. At the end of the day, I asked him, why did you come all the way out here to do this? And the guy smiled. He had a heavy, of course, Japanese accent. He said, you know, which I'm not going to bother trying to affect here. He said, you know, we look at you, you Americans in Japan and in China and Korea and the whole Far East, and we shake our heads. He said, in Japan, we invaded Manchuria in 1936, and we dropped the bombs on your Pearl Harbor in Hawaii in 1941. And, of course, we got into the entire Second World War because we all know this. We teach this in our schools, and we know it to be historical fact. The Japanese Imperial Air Force, Navy, and Army became inundated with fundamentalist Shintoism. And he said, we've seen the dangers, and we look back at America and we scratch our heads. Don't they see what's happening? You know, my response generally is, look, most of America is docile and supine.
Mm-hmm.
The average American would get excited about the kind of energy it would take for a fellow American to, spend 3 chilly nights on an air mattress in front of Circuit City to make sure they get their PlayStation 3. Now, that's something to get excited about. But the fact that we basically have, I report to your, tonight, I mean, that the constitutionally mandated wall separating church and state, or if you will, supernatural and natural, in the technologically most lethal and destructive force ever created by humankind, which is our noble and honorable military, tonight that wall is nothing but smoke and debris.
Well, Unbelievable. Hey, let's go to Jason in Little Rock, Arkansas. Jason, you have a question?
Yeah, well, I just have a quick comment. I'm an active soldier, or airman actually stationed out at Little Rock Air Force Base, and I've been in the Air Force almost 8 years now. I'm a non-commissioned officer, and I have to say there's a great number of us that really want to say thanks for what you're doing, what your guest is doing, man. It's awesome. I myself have personally been ostracized by the religious right wing for being an atheist and serving in the Air Force. So it's fascinating that they can get away with it. And I just want to say thanks, man.
Well, first, let me say something to you, young man. I mean, I spent 14 years in the U.S. Air Force. I want to thank you for doing what you're doing. Being an NCO in the U.S. Air Force I have tingles when someone says what you just said to me, because the fight that we lead is a very lonely and expensive and dangerous fight. The words that you said mean a lot to me, and they'll make me sleep better tonight. But I really want to thank you, because you know you're one of about 29.5 million Americans that claim to have no religious faith whatsoever. And I just checked my Constitution. Apparently, you're supposed to have as many civil rights as the rest of us.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thanks for your call, Jason.
It's a shame, man.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for your call, Jason. Thanks for your service to this country. We all appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right. Hey, Mikey, give that website one more time.
It's www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org, and the book is With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. It's on the website. It's at Borders, Barnes & Nobles, and certainly Amazon. We're a nonprofit. You know, please help us keep the republic, everybody, and keep supporting Jeff and his new show and, of course, the Mike Malloy Show.
Thanks a lot, Mikey. We'll be talking to you soon.
Be well.
You too. Hey, be right back with lots more of the Malloy Show for the next 2 hours. It's all caller-driven. It's you and me from here on out. So give me a call, 1-800-989-1480. Back. It's the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova Emma Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. We're caller-driven from here on out. If you want to join the conversation, now would be a good time to hop on board. I want to talk about a little amendment that kind of slipped by. It hasn't gotten a lot of media attention, so let me kind of lay this out for you. About a month ago, a group of 11 retired 3- and 4-star generals and some admirals issued a report entitled National Security and the Threat of Climate Change. Essentially, the report concluded that global warming presents a significant national security challenge to the United States. Essentially lays out how climate change can act as sort of a threat multiplier in some of the world's more volatile regions. So what they put together this the intelligence authorization bill follows their recommendations of these 11 retired generals and admirals and requests that the NIC produce a national intelligence estimate on the national security impact of climate change. Now there was an amendment stuck onto this bill by Representative Adam Schiff, a Democrat from California, and our own Jeff Flake here in Arizona, that essentially responds to the president's assertion of unilateral power with regard to electronic surveillance of Americans. It basically says in the amendment that FISA Act of 1978 shall be the exclusive means by which domestic electronic surveillance can be used in the United States. So it basically limits the president by statute that he can no longer evade the FISA laws. So this is a huge victory. For the ACLU, who's been working on this forever, trying to get, you know, get us back to the U.S. Constitution. And, again, a Republican, Flake from here in Arizona, broke from his party and, to stand up to the president on behalf of the citizens of this country. And again, a Republican that does good, we should take notice and recognize that. And, it did not come without a price, for Representative Flake. He was stripped of a committee seat as retribution for his slipping this bill into this amendment into that bill. So I just wanted to take a moment and commend Representative Flake for sticking his neck out for the good of the country. Also want to talk about, you know, the a lot was made about the Gang of 11. They're now being called the 11 congresspeople that went to the president earlier this week. To make sure he understood he no longer had credibility on Iraq, and to make sure he understood that he was hurting the party and their chances to be reelected. Well, apparently, this didn't sit too well with Karl Rove. Apparently, Rove was on the warpath, berating members of the House, and I guess there was a little thing popped up in today's Washington Post. Essentially, I'm reading here, White House political advisor Karl Rove, furious that Republican moderates had divulged a confrontational meeting they had on Tuesday with Bush on the war, started yesterday an angry conversation with the meeting's organizer, Representative Mark Stephen Kirk from Illinois. According to several GOP lawmakers, Dan Meyer, the House chief lobbyist, called the other participants to express the administration's unhappiness. Cheney was also out there making big noise on this. Apparently, he was on the GOP channel, or Fox Noise, whichever you like to call it. And was quoted as saying, we didn't get elected to be popular, and we didn't get elected to worry about the fate of the Republican Party. Basically slapping back at them. One interesting note from this meeting was a member who whose attendance wasn't generally publicized. Apparently, House Minority Leader John Boehner was also in attendance at this meeting. He was one of the people, yes, one of the 14, apparently there were 14, not 11, as we were initially told, to be there in the room. And there was basically scrubbed from all of the news channels about it. They wanted to make sure that, you know, it wasn't known that leadership was in the room, but he was. So it's interesting the way this whole thing played out, and this is actually far more significant than we had thought previously. There's a lot of, you know, the wheels are coming off, folks. I played this earlier in the week, but I'm going to play it again. This is General John Batiste. This is actually the ad he did for VoteVets.org, and he went on Oberman last night to kind of clarify his position. Here's General John Batiste.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Now, for making that ad, General John Batiste, retired general, he was one of the generals on the ground, was fired by CBS News. He was one of their war correspondents, is no longer in that position. He went on the Oberman show last night to sort of explain explain his position. Here's what he had to say.
What moved you to make these ads and moved you to make them now?
Keith, it really is quite extraordinary. I was moved to make this ad working with Vote Vets because I care about our country and I care about our soldiers and Marines and their families. I'm a patriot, as are the rest of us in Vote Vets. Vote Vets is not an anti-war organization. We're focused on what's best for this country. We're focused on being successful and winning the effort against global terrorism, and we're damn sure focused on doing what's right for our great military, which, by the way, is doing incredible work in Iraq and Afghanistan. God bless them all.
Now, General Batiste considers himself a diehard Republican, a lifelong Republican, so this isn't some partisan issue. This isn't just another liberal Bush hater. This is somebody who had dedicated most of his life to the service of our military and feels a stronger allegiance to the men and women who serve rather than its commander-in-chief. He went on to say,
Keith, I'm in a very unique position. I have a platform upon which I can speak. I'm no longer wearing the uniform of our country. I have no ties to the defense industry. I can speak honestly. I have a duty to do so. And I know there's other generals, both active duty and retired, that are doing all they can within their means. In my case, I'll continue to speak out.
So, again, he is one of the lucky ones who can speak out because, well, that's why he retired, as you heard in the initial ad. He stepped down so he could speak out. There is a military code that you are not allowed to speak out while you wear the uniform. It's insubordination, and for good reason. It's put in place to prevent some sort of military coup, like one of our callers a previous night had alluded to. Here's the last clip I have on Batiste.
Keith, this is less about deadlines and timelines than it is about coming to grips with the fact that we went to war with a fatally flawed strategy, flawed then in March of 2003, flawed today, over 4 years later. This is all about a president who's relying almost solely on the military component of strategy to accomplish the mission in Iraq. Sadly, we're missing the diplomatic, the political, and the economic components that are fundamental and required to be successful. We have an interagency process that has been dysfunctional during this administration. There's no unity of effort between the agencies. The bottom line is, we have a failed strategy now, and our president has not mobilized this great nation to accomplish the critical work to defeat global terrorism. And until we get these two things right, we're wasting our time.
General John Batiste, retired, unfortunately. So many of our great military leaders have retired. So many people within all levels of our government have retired in the last 5 years, essentially due to a lack of loyalty or willing to toe the line of the Bush administration. We're going to take a break. When we get back, more of your phone calls. Lots we can talk about. Talk about Cheney and the D.C. madam. We can talk about Monica Goodling. How about Paul Wolfowitz? Stick around, folks.
Mr. Lonely, I have nobody for my own. I'm so lonely. I'm Mr. Lonely. Wish I had someone to call on the phone. Why I'm lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely. I wish that I could go back home.
We are back. It's the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. I'm Jeff Farias sitting in for Mike Malloy all week long here on a Friday night, the Friday before Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Reminding you all, call your moms this weekend. Rudy Giuliani, making some friends in Iowa. This story comes out of Olin, Iowa. Apparently last weekend, Deb and Jerry von Sprechen of Olin received a call from former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani's campaign office, asking them if they would be interested in holding a campaign rally on May 4th, after she had donated to his campaign. "We thought it would be an honor, and agreed," said Jerry. The campaign office continued to contact the von Spreckens throughout the week and were told a security check would be needed. The couple passed the security check and began putting plans in place. "We started making phone calls. We got the sheriff and fire department, and Olin School was going to let out early, and we were also expecting kids from the Anamosa School," Jerry explained. "Oh, the event went around. Deb went around and personally invited people. On Tuesday, Deb received a call from Giuliani's Des Moines office and was asked to call New York. They wanted to know our assets," she revealed, and added that she and Jerry have a modest 80-acre farm and raise cattle. Later, she received a call from Tony Delgado at the Des Moines location. Tony said, "I'm sorry, you aren't worth $1 million, and he is campaigning on the death tax right now." Then he said they weren't going to be able to come. You see, the death tax is a federal version. They have an Iowa inheritance tax there. Death tax is one of those euphemisms the Republicans use, like, healthy forest initiatives or the Clear Skies Act or... Anyway. So the Van Spreckens called Delgado back and told them how upset they were at the event being canceled and how much work they had done, that they had been expecting 100 people at their farm. And I invited him into my home, Deb said of Giuliani, fighting back tears. She then got a call later from New York saying that she could introduce Giuliani at a rally over in Cedar Rapids, also scheduled that day, but they declined. Deb says, "I may go and give him a piece of my mind, but I'm not going to introduce him." You see, Giuliani wants to talk about the quote-unquote death tax, and he's looking for a millionaire family farmer. Well, guess what? They don't exist. This whole notion that you hear from the Republicans about how the death tax stops farms from staying in people's families is a crock. It's a lie. There are no family farms that would be affected by the death tax. It only affects the very super rich. So there you have it. Rudy Giuliani making friends and influencing people in Iowa. Let's get to the phones. Bill in Phoenix. Bill, welcome.
"I got a little garden in my backyard. If I go, I'd like to leave it to the kids."
There you go.
Other than that, no, there's no family farm. And you know, Jeff, on your other show, Bachelor, you're doing something about food. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in seeds. It seems to me that the seed supply that they make available, mm-hmm. they make it available for less time every year.
Right, yep. And they're patenting seeds as well.
Yeah, and I want to know from, like, if you can get an expert, you know, what things, you know, I grow an extensive garden, but mm-hmm. what things I can propagate seeds from that would be beneficial too.
Right.
And do the hybrid plants that are out there now, do they make viable seeds? I don't know that. I have to learn that.
Right. Yeah, no, a lot of them are engineered not to, so that you have to go back and buy from them every year.
Well, I'm not rooting for that blood. I'm not rooting for that blood clot no more because he's got his thing in a knot. I think that'll sink him a little faster, huh?
We can only hope. We can only. I hope the rumors are building. Apparently, it's coming out of Wayne Mazden now. That he's got it from three independent sources that Cheney is one of the people on the DC Madams list.
You can't be that hinky and not be kinky.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know it's something really. I don't want to go there, but you know it's something really twisted. You know.
Look how twisted they are,
yeah,
Jeff. Torture. I mean,
yeah.
There are certain elements amongst us, maybe your friends, that experiment with, I don't know how to say it, torture, but you know what I mean. They stretch the bounds of what's usual.
Mm-hmm.
For these people, it just wasn't enough. They had to stretch it even further.
Yeah.
And that's what gets them in trouble. And I hope this just blows up in their face. You know, I'm just standing out here waiting for the day when it all came back at him.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for your call, buddy. I got to take a break. The music's back.
Take care, partner.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Hey, it's the Molloy Show. The phone lines are open, folks. 1-800-989-1480. I got Brian. I got Judd on hold. Got a couple phone lines available, so it's your chance to pipe in. What's on your mind this Mother's Day weekend? Stick around.
I know I
I got a bad reputation, and it isn't just talk, talk, talk. If I could only give you everything, you know I haven't got.
Hey, we're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Ferrier, sitting in for Mike all week long. I'll be back on Monday as well. Yeah, the scandal is brewing around Dick Cheney and the D.C. madam. Wayne Madsen's been all over it. Gosh, it shocked me. If there was a more unlikely candidate for a sex scandal in D.C., I would have to say it would be Dick Cheney. I don't know. Anyway, it's too creepy even to consider. Let's go to the phones. I got a full board of callers finally. It took Bobby Vinton to make it happen, but it did work. Jude in Seattle, you're on the air. Hey, Jude, you there?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Oh, that was so quick. I'm doing well, Jeff. I'm grateful to be able to talk with you.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I wanted to go back to Sasha's interview that you did with him last night.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very alarming. But I wanted to go in specifically to Angola Prison in Louisiana and to remind the listeners, you know, the slaves, I mean, I just hate that term, but when they were brought over, they were brought from Angola, Africa.
Right, yeah.
And they were put, Angola Prison is on the actual site of the plantations where they came.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an interview I heard quite a few months ago by a mother and sister of a fellow that's in prison there and has been in prison there most of his life. Well, he's been there since he was 17, and his name is Gary Tyler. And if anyone is interested in looking into that, it's freegarytyler.com. But the thing that was the most alarming to me is when I pulled up the information, and I've written letters and such, but I haven't heard, was on the actual prison site, they have, with 48-hour notice, they have a golf course on the prison grounds. And with a 48-hour clearance check, you know, background, you can go in there. And then they also have, I mean, talk about demeaning. They have a site that you can go in and buy different apparel, and you can pull up. They have men and women, and they have T-shirts and hats. And there was one that was so, to me, so violating, and I wrote, I was just absolutely outraged. There's a woman, and she's got a T-shirt, and it's white. In the back of it, there's a tower, like a guard tower, and then gates that come around. And the statement is, welcome to Angola, a gated community.
Oh, geez.
You know, and the degree in which we degrade and belittle, you know, our fellow brothers and sisters. You know, Jeff, I just really feel this movement of women really coming into power. We're so tired of violations and you know, so many are speaking out, and we're doing it peacefully. But I just encourage anyone that would maybe get a hold of that governor, Kathleen Blanco, because she's going to be going out for the possibility of pardoning this young man.
Gary Tyler.
Wow.
It's remarkable. You know, Sasha's book is really a great study because it's specific to the American prison system. There's also a book that he and I alluded to, and we talked a little bit about off air. There's a book by a French philosopher called Michel Foucault, and the book is called Discipline and Punish, and it's basically a history of punishment. And essentially, the general theme of the book is that it's not about rehabilitation. It's not even about the punishment. The punishment isn't supposed to really affect the person being punished as much as the others witnessing it. The book starts off with extremely gruesome and graphic description of someone being drawn and quartered in medieval England and what that process was. And it was basically meant to strike terror and fear into the rest of the populace as a means of controlling them. And so when we see this sort of degradation and the harsh treatment on other citizens and people who are being incarcerated, in many cases for victimless crimes, it's a sort of a means of public control and a way to strike fear and to manipulate the people on the outside more than anything.
and, you know, sadism.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and again, the guest I had on the day before, we talked all about torture, so it's kind of a theme working there. And of course, today's guest was about the rise of the Dominionists within this sect as well. So
okay, we get you later. So I didn't get to hear him, but I did hear Mikey. I think it was back in October, and I went out and purchased his book, and that was quite a piece. And that whole thing with the faith-based initiatives,
right.
A whole other arena. But my other one is there are in the prison systems, he spoke a little bit about the private prison population, and the Corruption Corporation of America, when you pull up their website, you can go in and see how much their stocks increase, and I've been tracking them, and they're steadily rising. And there's a group down in Texas called Texans for Families, and the Homeland Security now has created two, one in Texas and one in Pennsylvania, where they actually house families. And their mantra coming out right now is the fact that, the children in there, because it's difficult for, the groups to get in to really see what's going on. But the ones that have, the children are just absolutely devastated. They're talking about not getting enough food.
Wow.
Alex Jones does a beautiful piece on his website that he actually goes to Taylor, Texas, and, tries to interchange. And it's just, the whole series of, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any means at all, but I have a grandson right now in juvenile detention, and we have to constantly monitor and keep in touch. Like there were several people last night that I was so grateful to hear, their how they feel about that. And there's so many of us that want to make changes. So.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. It's
just,
I love it when you're on.
Oh, thank you.
You're so gracious with your time for all of us that need a little bit extra than 15 seconds to get our points out.
No problem. Thanks, Jude. Thanks
Be
for
well.
Calling. Take care. Let's go to Jason, a first-time caller from West Virginia. Jason, welcome.
Hey, I've been a listener to this show since Mike showed up on Sirius, and I really appreciate how you handle this, too, by the way.
Thank you.
You're calm and to the point and knowledgeable. Couple interesting things, but first on the seed thing, what the gardeners have got to do is start getting heirloom seeds. They're the original seeds. They're not GM modified or anything else. The seeds from what you grow will grow next year's crop for you.
Right, right.
And they taste so much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they.
But what about somebody starting out who wants to start a garden this year? Do you have any recommendations where they can get their seeds to start? Or?
Yeah, look on the internet. There's a company up in Canada I get mine from called Heirloom Seeds.
Oh, Heirloom. Oh, okay, that is actually the name of a company. Okay, cool.
It's the name of the company, but it's also the name of the seeds that are
not
genetically modified.
Great.
But
okay.
A quick thing here. Are you familiar with Cesare Beccaria?
No.
Crime and Punishment, written in the 1700s.
Oh, no,
a lot of our laws were taken from his ideas.
Oh, interesting.
Basically, he wrote a book called Crime and Punishment, and basically in there what he says is that good law should be to do the maximum amount of good and the least amount of harm.
Right.
So what I told you about tonight is this. There's been a bill that's been trying to get through Congress for 12 years now, ever since the Republicans took over, and what it's done, all it does is say that if you have yourself genetically tested, that information cannot be used by an insurance company to deny you coverage, to modify existing coverage, or to limit your coverage in any way, and that your employer cannot use that as a determining factor in hiring you, firing you, or anything else. Now, this bill has went through the Senate with like 99 to nothing, 96 to nothing, and then kind of got sidetracked in the House. This year, it's went through the House with a vote of over 400-9. I'd love to know who the nine voted against it. Now, it's in the Senate, but it's been pocket vetoed by a Republican senator from Oklahoma.
Inhofe?
Huh?
Inhofe, is that the guy?
I don't know the name.
Huh, interesting.
I just know that it's been pocket vetoed.
It would have to be him. It wouldn't be Hagel. It would have to be Inhofe, the guy who thinks global warming is a conspiracy.
It could be either one, because this is on the medical side now, and it has to do with insurance, so money comes in both pockets.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's been pocket vetoed by this guy.
Interesting.
this is necessary. The guy, the gentleman that is doing the Genome Foundation, has said that, look, a third of the people he approached for the Genome Project turned it down because they were afraid of employer or insurance repercussions on it.
Hmm.
You know, this bill, it does nothing else than that. It just protects you so that you can go and get genetically tested if you want to,
mm-hmm.
and that nobody can use that against you.
Wow.
Okay? And I hope we can start calling and finding out, you know, these senators from Oklahoma, and you know, because they're doing it secretly.
Right.
Nobody's supposed to know about this, but word's leaked out that far that it's one of the senators from Oklahoma.
Wow,
Republican senator.
Well, thanks for letting us know about that, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You take care. Bye. Let's go to Brian in New Hampshire. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff, how are you? I haven't talked to you for a little bit.
Good speaking to you, buddy.
Okay, and what the lady was talking about before about Angola prison and this damn shameful prison criminal injustice complex of profiteers we have going on here. The Angola prison, if you ever see the movie Oliver Stone's masterpiece, even though it may not all be true, JFK,
mm-hmm.
he interviews Kevin Bacon, plays a low
right,
life
right. He's in
criminal,
Angola.
Willie O'Keefe at Angola prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you some of the conditions there are probably a lot worse now after Katrina, especially after the private privatization. I've gone over where they privatized Walter Reed. They're still not covering that with the kind of ardor that they should be about that these corporate contractors and the privatization of the Iraq War. It's just also criminal and traitorous. It's unconstitutional too. It's against the very republic that America is supposed to be, our founding fathers, to have such as Blackwater running around the streets of New Orleans and the Gulf states, and especially in the war in Iraq, where they're supposedly protecting us,
mm-hmm.
when I think they're really manufacturing many more terrorists for decades to follow.
Yeah.
But I was going to talk about Angola prison, but that's a very poignant call by that lady there. And talking about Mother's Day coming up, I feel like it's not an objective opinion, but I have the best mommy in the world. But I feel and also something that just happened. There's a thing in history that it's a kind of a romantic term, but it really holds true in World War II, Mother Russia.
Right.
They just had May 9th was just Victory Day for the former Soviet Union against the Nazis. They had nothing on the national media in America here about that. They saved so many, including my father, World War II veteran from Italy and North Africa.
They did say one thing on the national media. I heard it on, I think it was on the Olbermann show, or actually maybe it was CNN, actually, that Putin came out and actually compared the United States government to the Third Reich.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Okay, but during World War II, 90% of the German army casualties were on the Eastern Front. That was the Russians' Western Front. Actually, you have to look at it from their side too. That's the only way we're going to win the war on terror. But they were so they helped save civilization, because as bad as Stalin was, if somebody wants to call up and say he was like a communist Hitler or he was in the left wing version of a dictatorial Antichrist, that's fine with me. But he was far saner than Adolf Hitler would ever be, and as far saner and like I was saying, I've said before, that against the greater evil of Osama bin Laden, a greater ally would have been Saddam Hussein, like a Stalin in World War II, a secular enemy of bin Laden, like Gaddafi is in Libya to this day. So, you know, I'll let you go, Jeff.
Thanks, Brian. Great point. Good talking to you as always, brother.
Take care.
Hey, we'll be right back with more of The Molloy Show. 1-800-989-1480. Stick around, folks. Lots more to talk about. Back. It's the Mike Molloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Farias, sitting in here all week. I'll be back on Monday. Mike will be returning on Tuesday the 15th. Check out my website, jefffarias.com. You can email me at jeff@jefffarias.com. Let's get back on the phones. Mike in Tempe, you're first.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Hey, these folks that are calling in about the seeds.
Yes.
One of the most obvious things that most people don't even think of is that they can keep the seeds from the vegetables and fruits they buy.
Right. Oh, that's true. The ones you get in the store, yeah. Right. In some cases, though, a lot of them are a lot of the food's been genetically modified so that those seeds are sterile. They won't generate. So,
well, you don't even want to buy those foods in the first place. You only want to buy organic food.
Right, right.
A great place in Phoenix is at the farm at South Mountain at 32nd Street and Southern. There's a garden shop in the back that sells heirloom seeds. And also on the web, there's a wealth of organic heirloom seeds available. And at the Phoenix Central Farmers Market, there are local organic growers that sell produce that are...
Right there on McKinley and Central. Yeah, sure. I was over there. I wasn't there last weekend, but the weekend before. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so a great spot. Tiny bit of investigation, people can really find great seeds.
Mm-hmm. Ah, great idea.
The other thing I want to mention is that Mike Gravel has really been pushed on dig.com.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that website or your listeners are, digg.com. They've been very supportive of him. It's not really a political website, but they've really pushed him a lot.
Yeah, he's been popping out a lot on the web. Actually, he's getting quite popular, both for his anti-war stance. He's also actually came out and had some statements about gay marriage and things like that. And you know, guy's got a lot of great things to say.
Yeah, and I think most people are really tired of this political Machiavellian game.
Yeah, the finger to
so
the wind. Yeah,
plainly obvious to everybody. They want someone who's going to go there and do the job for the people that the people want done. Because after all, they're supposed to be our servant.
Right. Yep. And I think we're all tired of having a choice between millionaire A and billionaire B. And you know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Mike.
People are much smarter than the government. Thanks, Jeff, for doing a great job.
Thanks, buddy. Good talking to you. Let's go to Rich in New Jersey. Richie on the air.
Hey, Jeff, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Same here, buddy.
The host you've had sitting in on your show have been doing a good job all week, too.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we got a great weekend lineup over here. And plus Sean, who does a lot of the board op on the weekend, he did a fabulous show on Tuesday. So
Yeah, and I really appreciate some of the guys you had sitting in your weekend host that was sitting in for you this week. It was a refreshing change because I don't listen a lot on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to hear, like you said, some of the voices are from your great lineup on the weekends anyway. You know, I'm just really fed up, Jeff. I don't know about you, but I'm really fed up with this tension the right wing, the Republicans and the conservatives and the right wing have for dealing with reality in terms of euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, Bush has raised this to an art form. You know, with the Clear Skies Initiative, man, it's clear birds, like Al Franken would say, or, you know, healthy forests, man, clear cutting the forest.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, everything is, like, Jeanine Garofalo used to say it best on her show when she had a Majority Report on Air America. Every day is opposite day.
Right.
If you want to understand the Republican mindset, you just, whatever they say, it's the opposite.
Yep.
Like, a debt tax is really about, like, contributing, you know, the opposite. It's really about the opposite of rich corporations and individuals that have obscene amounts of money contributing their fair share.
And it was Teddy Roosevelt who initiated the inheritance tax basically to prevent an aristocracy evolving in the United States.
But according to Rush Limbaugh, you know, he's dead and we're going to do something about his economic policies too. We're going to get rid of Social Security. Because what these people really want, and, you know, Sasha's... the interview you had with Sasha was good about the state of the prison population and prison America. This is authoritarian sway we're under in this country. It's really all about punishment, putting everybody in their place, and the lack of questioning of authority. I mean, this thing that just happened now with Michael Moore, with his new movie Sicko, and the IRS being sicked on him. It's really all about they don't want authority ever be questioned.
Right.
They don't want the common good to be held sway. It's a whole philosophy about keeping everybody in their place under control. This is how they're going to guarantee stability.
Yep.
This is how they're going to guarantee an orderly society, and it doesn't work.
What makes
us human is our ability to interact, to have differences of opinion, to see things from a number of angles and to compromise for the common good, but it's not about that anymore in America.
Thanks, Rich.
If we don't wake up soon, it's all
gotta let you go, buddy. Get a hard break. Thanks. Thank you. Hey, we'll be right back with more of the Molloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. Back. It's the Mike Molloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number if you'd like to jump on board and contribute to tonight's dialogue. Some good news out there. Dennis Kucinich's bill for an impeachment of the Vice President, Dick Cheney, picked up another sponsor today. That's right. Representative Albert Wynn, Democrat from Maryland, has signed on as the latest co-sponsor. Quote from Representative Wynn says, Vice President Dick Cheney is the architect of the administration's deception about the war. Cheney persistently and deliberately deceived the Congress and the American people about the existence of weapons of mass destruction and the alleged link between Saddam Hussein and the attack on September 11th. So one more to the mix. 240 to go. Let's get back on the phones. Ron in Davis, California, you're on the air.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, not bad. I called you about a couple of days ago, and I really appreciate the conversation we had. So I just want to give you that feedback. You know, nice. I'm an agnostic, and I've been around a long time studying this crazy thing called the human species. And I'm wondering if we're not, you know, it's like that '70s song, "Slipping into Darkness," right here. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a very rough time globally. I want to make a comment, if I may, regarding that Dominionist wacko sort of sect that's infiltrating, apparently, certain levels of our military. It also crosses over into Blackwater, where Jeremy Scahill said that the CEO or somebody in Blackwater was...
It's the CEO.
Yeah, CEO. Well, I don't even have to go any further then, yeah. So he's into some ancient order of crusading, you know, mm-hmm. nutcases.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. Although I'm an agnostic, I've probably read Sermon on the Mount at least 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were a Christian lawyer, for example, I would build my case entirely on Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, even if I were agnostic. And I would say, because in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ says, these are my commandments.
Right.
And then he just lays it out in about 107 verses or something. Mm-hmm. But these are my commandments is within the text. It starts off with the Beatitudes, as you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, these Dominionists and evangelical types and so forth really can't stand reading the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To them, it's just like, no. And on the other hand, it's the essence of Christianity. It's the heart, the hub of the wheel. But what they'll do is they'll go to the Old Testament.
For Leviticus and all those other stuff.
All that crap.
Right. Yeah.
So they are actually not Christians. They're what I would call cherry-picking Bible sort of.
I refer to them as Old Testament Christians, which
Testament,
is an oxymoron.
I would hesitate to call them Christian because... Yeah. When they do go to the New Testament, they jump right to Revelations, which, as Mike Molloy poignantly pointed out, was written by some guy stoned on peyote in the desert somewhere.
Right, right.
So if they have enough guts, and if any of them are lurking right now, you know, I just dare them to read Sermon on the Mount and just ask yourself if you're an actual Christian. I've actually done that with evangelicals, and they never – I talked with an evangelical once, and she'd been – this church, listening to a preacher, and I said, have you ever heard of a Sermon on the Mount? She never heard of it.
Wow.
And then I gave her about a month. She was working in the office, and I met her in a coffee, after we were having coffee, and I said, have you read it yet? She said, yes, I did. And I just asked her point blank, I said, do you know any Christians? She said, no, I don't.
Wow.
So I found that really interesting. The other thing on the seeds,
mm-hmm.
just a couple of quick things. There are thousands of Indian farmers committing suicide. Absolutely committing. You can just Google this stuff. And it's been going on for several years now in one particular province. And I believe it has something to do with the fact that they cannot purchase new seeds every year because of all the patent. I believe it's Monsanto.
Yeah, Monsanto is one of the major
Monsanto is one of the forces of evil.
And they're also doing this thing in Mexico with corn where they put these seeds in there that are patented, and when the pollen blows over to other cornfields, they go and they sue the farmers whose their seeds have infected for copyright infringement
right.
and take their farms.
And then because of World Trade Agreement and all that stuff, corporations now are way more powerful than given countries on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that I was in the Peace Corps, many years ago from 62 through 64 gave me some deep insight into how people live in the third world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're standing there, I was a teacher, if you're standing there in front of a classroom of 45 children, all of whom have intestinal parasites, worms in their body,
mm-hmm.
all of whom have initial stages of tuberculosis, and if the climate were drier and hotter and the water was slightly more polluted, then they'd have amoebic dysentery, which is almost equivalent to cholera. Then I would look out the window, no electricity, no running water, and I'd see some farmer plowing a rice field, trying to eke out a living, and the children actually walking 2 and 3 miles to school. Now, if I knew there was a country about 100 miles away where I could get a job and make hundreds of dollars a month
mm-hmm.
digging horse manure, where do you think I'd go?
Yeah, you'd be sneaking across the Rio Grande.
And you would never, ever get me to, if you caught me, I'd go back.
Right.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So we got to consider our, as Jesus would say. And again, I'm an agnostic. We've got to place ourselves in the shoes of the other.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate
it. All right, buddy.
Let's go to Zelf in Phoenix. Hey, Zelf, thanks for the Giuliani email.
Oh yeah, I just laughed out loud reading that because I'm thinking I kind of felt sorry for those poor people because they spent all that time and effort organizing an event for Giuliani.
Yep.
And his campaign guy goes, but you don't have a net worth of over $1 million, and we're not interested
in
you.
And I've traveled pretty extensively all around Iowa as a touring musician and spent a lot of time meeting those folks. Some of the nicest people you will ever meet in the world live in Iowa. It's just that story sort of brought it out. That's right, Ian's from Iowa. There you go.
But, I found that on Fire Dog Lake, and that was in a local Iowa newspaper. And the funny thing is, how much do you want to bet the mainstream media won't even pick up on that story? Because, after all, that's not as important as how much John Edwards pays for a haircut.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. Can you imagine if a Democrat did that, if they blew someone off like that?
No kidding.
You imagine what Maureen Dowd would be writing about them if that was a Democrat?
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just obscene. But for anybody that still believes that we have a liberal media, that the fact that that story will not appear in the mainstream media anywhere should quell any doubts that we have a corporatist media that favors Republican candidates. And all you have to do is watch the coverage of the Democratic and Republican debates and the sort of slanted questions that were asked of them.
Yeah, no kidding. Yep.
In fact, Bob Summerby at Daily Howler has done a great job of picking apart Chris Matthews' questions during the debates and just showing how incredibly biased the questions were and how he more or less let the Republicans have free rein and, kind of lobbed softball questions as opposed to hardball.
Brian Williams' questions were all like, so you've been accused of such and such by this newspaper. How do you defend yourself? That's right. The questions were attacks, basically, forcing them into a box to try and talk their way out of it. You know?
And here's what I'd like to encourage people to do. One of the reasons for this is if someone like Keith Olbermann is on, the network, it's all this mail from the right-wingers complaining about liberal bias. Well, I think we need to do the same thing and write letters to the networks complaining about this horrible bias coverage that they've done of the debates.
Yeah.
And when you see your local newspaper do this stuff, call them to task for it. And, it sometimes does help, believe it or not. But the fact is the right-wingers are far more organized and have a much bigger noise machine that hounds the newspapers when they write stuff that they don't like.
Yep.
And we don't do that. We need to do that.
We need to do a lot more of it. And we need to do, you know, we're not organized and nobody's on the payroll doing it. They have extensive people who get paid to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they call that AstroTurf.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Hey, Zell, thanks for your call, buddy. Good talking to you. We're going to take a little bit of break here. Come back, take some more phone calls. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. I'll be right back. Screaming Jay Hawkins on a Friday night here on the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Farish, sitting in for Mike all week long. The phone number 1-800-989-1480 if you want to get in on the conversation. This comes to us from USA Today. The Black Death found in Denver squirrels. That's right, folks. The bubonic plague making a comeback in the West. Apparently, the state hotline gets 50 to 75 calls a day about dead rodents. Many of them are dying from the black plague. Now, they say the good news is this is in humans, can be cured with antibiotics if caught soon enough. Apparently, the disease is transmitted by fleas coming back and forth. They recommend keeping your cats indoors if at all possible. They can suffer from it. Dogs are unlikely to be harmed by the fleas, but humans can get it from their dogs, so keep an eye on it. It says sort of flu-like symptoms, swelling in the lymph nodes and all that sort of thing, so if you think you may be infected, get to a doctor. Back to the phones. Take the calls in the order I get them. Phil in San Diego, you're up first, Phil.
Yeah, good evening, Jeff. Thanks for being there.
Thank you.
In regards to the, I was really interested in what that earlier caller spoke in regards to the different takes on the CEO of Blackwater and the real truth in the New Testament. And in regards to the Sermon on the Mount,
right.
Somebody should ask the Crawford Cowboy if he's familiar with it, because
I don't think so. You know, he, for as much as he claims to be born again, you never see him attending church or doing anything very related to faith or religion. He certainly doesn't live according to those precepts.
But I kind of like felt like he would just like use it as a one of his where he goes, "Oh, don't you mean the gentleman on a horse?"
Right.
And somebody goes, "Oh, you mean a sermon on a mount?"
Right, yeah.
In regards to the Mr. Cheney, I was astounded when you revealed about the madam thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I think we can understand why he's not the president. He's the vice president. And his name, if you spell it phonetically, that that would say exactly what he might possibly be into. D-I-C-K-C-H-A-I-N-K-N-E-E.
Yeah, could be, could be. I don't know, man. It's all pretty weird. I mean, of all people to be trapped involved in a sex scandal, Dick Cheney, my God, that's just... Ugh.
Mr. Black.
That's just
creepy,
yeah. Like, I don't know.
Have a happy weekend, man.
Yeah, thanks,
buddy.
Thanks
for being there.
Appreciate it, Phil. Thank you. Next up in the big queue is Jamie, South Columbia, South Carolina. Jamie, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I was listening to what I guess earlier about the media being controlled, and an example that happened today, CBS fired one of their military consultants, a guy who was...
General John Batiste, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And they replaced him with a shill for the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a shame.
Yeah. Well, also, ABC, what we were just talking about Dick Cheney, Brian Ross from ABC, a week ago tonight, last Friday, was supposed to air this big expose. They got permission from the D.C. madam, and they got, like, you know, 40 pounds of phone records, and they were going to put that information out there. They had permission, and at the last minute, they withheld all the names, which started to lead speculation, and, you know, who was powerful enough to stop ABC from airing those names?
Darth Vader.
Right.
I watched that, and of course they didn't reveal anything. I was hoping the madam would have the phone records stored somewhere else. She can give them to the Inquirer or something.
Right, right.
That would definitely publish them.
Yeah, okay. No, Larry Flint, I'm sure he'd love to get his hands on those.
Yeah, but now I just like to encourage everybody to call up media corporations and just, you know, think of something, the freshest people to give us the real news, because I'm running out of time with their presidential elections coming up.
Yeah. Well, it should be interesting. I thought it was really encouraging when people like Obama and Edwards boycotted doing debates on Fox News. I thought that was
a really good
step in the right direction, just to call people's attention to the fact that this isn't really a news network, and they certainly have a right to exist as a propaganda channel. And you know, this is the United States. There's freedom of speech. They're certainly allowed to exist, but they certainly shouldn't be able to call themselves fair or balanced, because they are neither.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Jamie.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more of your phone calls, 1-800-989-1480. Got a few lines open, folks. Don't make me play Bobby Vinton again. It's kind of odd. It just popped back into my ear there. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number if you want to hop on board. First up in the queue is Robert in Daly City, California. Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, Jeff, I really appreciate your presence on the radio. You've got a real good radio voice, and I know the listeners appreciate your intellect and what you bring to the airwaves.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
And, you know, a few years ago, I just couldn't take any more. This was right after 9/11, and of course, I knew what happened the minute 9/11 happened. It just clicked for me the moment I saw the towers come down. I mean, buildings aren't supposed to do that except outside of controlled demolition. And my next question to myself was, are there U.S. Air Force training exercises going on at the same time? And
sure enough.
So Mike Rupert showed up, and he has an intelligence background. His family was intelligence, and he wrote his book, Crossing the Rubicon, America's Descent into the After the Age of, End of the Age of Oil. And, you know, it was a very scary time at the time, because there was this big hysteria around going to war.
Right.
And, you know, I swear we had one of our 9/11 leaders detained by the police for bank robbery, her and her son, after they attended a conference on 9/11 at the... in Santa Rosa, you know, like six cruisers pull up behind her, and they all pull their guns out on her and accuse her of robbing a bank. Well, of course, it was a totally phony thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a totally phony situation. And I had a couple of similar instances happen to me, but nothing really came of it. But as soon as Mike got on the air and Randy Rose and people like that, it seemed to take a lot of the fear out of the situation we were in. And then people on the other side, we found out that the Pentagon was deeply divided in what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very encouraging, because I can tell you, I came to some 9/11 meetings, and I think it was April of last year. Time flies, you know, but it was a situation where I just had this really ominous feeling, and I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes in April, I think it was. And about a month later, all of a sudden, I started to feel really good. Well, then in the summer, you find out that the Joint Chiefs were told to drop a plan involving nuclear weapons on Iran, and that the Joint Chiefs, 5 days before the plan was to be launched, confronted Bush in the White House and said, "Mr. President, have you considered the ramifications of an attack upon Iran?" The meaning to the world and to the United States. And he said, "Bring it on." And they turned around on their heels and says, "We consider you incompetent. We take no more orders from you." Well, since then, they've shuffled the deck and got rid of Rummy. And, of course, he's still in the Pentagon with his aides and everything. But I remember also Kevin Burns, General Kevin Burns, number 5 in command, a 4-star general, who saw a training exercise come across his desk and believed that it was the pretext to attack Iran. It was similar to 9/11, and he just, as a subordinate, refused to let that happen to us. And I just remember Medley Butler, and I think in time and place, it isn't a matter of how many people you have. It's that somebody is there that's willing to stand up and say no.
Right.
And General Burns did say no, and because of this phony baloney spying on people, they won't use the law. And the reason they won't use the law is because they know they have to watch their backs. They're a de facto government, an illegal and unjust group of people that were put in there by a bunch of Supreme Court guys who were
handpicked by their predecessors. Yeah.
Handpicked by the predecessors, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you look at these guys, I mean, Nixon himself was chosen by Prescott Bush to run for high political office,
right.
And then Nixon helped George Herbert Walker run for Congress.
And made him head of CIA as well.
And then you look at the Carter fires a bunch of these guys, and they're the same guys, Casey and these guys, if he wants to be head of CIA, that get Reagan running for office, and then tell Reagan we want Bush to be your vice president, and then 2 months after Reagan is inaugurated, he gets shot by who? A close family friend of the Bushes, the Hinckleys.
Right.
I mean, John Hinckley went to school with Neil Bush, and I mean, American history, they call you a conspiracy theorist, but all you have to do is look at the chronology, and a fool. I mean, any grand jury, and this is why they keep it out of the legal system, because if the legal system looks at this stuff, like 9/11, and realizes that controlled demolition was never considered by the King Commission, and the U.S. Air Force training exercises was never considered.
Nor was Building 7, or the testimony of Willie Rodriguez, and on and on and on, the stuff that they ignored.
William Rodriguez's testimony was behind closed doors with 20 experts, and it was sealed under reasons of national security.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that about? And then he goes to Venezuela with Jimmy Walters, and he wants to get the Venezuelans to do an international 9/11 investigation because 82 countries, citizens from 82 countries were killed in the towers. It wasn't just 2,700 Americans, besides the 343 firefighters that were murdered there and the 75 police. But the thing is that they're out there on the beach in Venezuela handing their DVDs out. They come back to the hotel, and the desk person is talking to Willie. He's Puerto Rican in Spanish, and she says, "Hey, the FBI was here. They want our hotel reservation list." And they kind of freak out, and they call the National Assembly guy, and he says, "Yeah, well, we saw CIA people following you on the beach. Don't worry. We're going to send our military security people over to watch over you in the rest of your stay." So this is what's going on. People in the national security apparatus are collaborating with treason, because what they want to do is this international global takeover. They realize that in the future, China in 15 years is going to be this big gorilla, and they're going to have to get them now, or we're going to be toast later on.
Yep.
We have to change the paradigm. The paradigm has to be,
We have to cooperate. We have to set aside competition, get into cooperation, and find solutions. The CIA and organizations like it need a new mandate. They need to take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. I don't see it on their website. And they need to have this modus operandi. Wherever a problem is, they will be there with a solution that involves no war.
Right. Excellent point, Robert.
That's the mandate we need to give them.
Yep. Thanks for your call, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for pitching in. Appreciate it. Let's go to Byron in Joplin, Missouri. Byron, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff. What's going on?
Not too much. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, I wanted to let you know I'm one of Mike's oldest listeners. I've been listening to him for probably going on 25 years since he started down there in Georgia, and I wouldn't miss a show for nothing. I wanted to let you know that you're doing a hell of a job, and I appreciate it.
Very kind of you. Thank you.
Just keep on keeping on. You know, people don't realize I'm a truck driver, and I'm out here all the time. People don't realize that all these constitutional officers and that we've got in the United States, they take a vow to uphold the Constitution. They don't take a loyalty oath for the President of the United States.
Yep.
And as far as Mike and Kathy and Molly, hope you guys are having a good time. Enjoy yourself. We'll all be here when you get back. And I'm having a little schadenfreude over this Cheney thing. I'm just about tickled to death. I mean, I'm. Wouldn't it be weird if that's why they've got the thumb on everybody?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, because Wayne Madsen, who's rarely wrong about anything, claims that he has three independent sources, three corroborating sources that say Cheney's among the people on that list, and that's why ABC killed the story last week.
Well, though, that's three more sources than the Washington Times usually.
Or Drudge for that matter.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go. I just want to let you know you're doing a hell of a job, and I appreciate it. You got a fine voice, and people out there don't realize how hard your job is. I tried it for a while, and I certainly know it's very difficult day in and day out, and you're doing a hell of a job.
Wow.
Just keep on keeping on, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Byron. I'll tell you, it is one fun job. I really love doing this, and it's an incredibly addictive job as well. And you know, I think I got the greatest job in the world. I just sit here behind a mic and get a chance to talk to people all night. So what could be wrong with that, huh? Let's go to Barbara in Cave Creek. Barbara, you on the air?
Hi. Well, I just wanted to let people know about Christopher Hutchins' book about God Poisoning Everything.
Yeah, was he on with John Stewart? He was on with John.
No, he's on tonight with Bill Maher.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was on with Stewart last week. It was pretty stunning.
What he said, just the one-liner, the one thing he said, which goes along with what I've been saying, that they're working for the other side, that they're working for the Muslims, and that the Prince of England, who will become the King of England, wants to wants to convert to the Muslim religion.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And now this is the Church of England, and he's the head of the Church of England.
Well, he's going to Iraq, isn't he?
This is Christopher Hitchens, and I'm telling you, Bush is working for him. They're working for the Saudis. It's a very bizarre. Everybody seems to think that, you know, we can do. You got to think outside the box. And the boxes are the Twin Towers, you know?
Right, right. Interesting.
And that's really what it's about, is the fact that, you know, follow the people, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over there.
Wow.
And in China. I mean, think about it. It's nerve-wracking. And the thing about the people in India and the seeds and the food and the massive experiments they're doing on us, and they want to start using chips on Alzheimer's patients in Palm Beach, Florida. So are they numbering the Jews again?
Wow.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
You know, they're putting in the caretakers and the Alzheimer's patients.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable stuff.
Thanks for your call, Barbara.
All right. I'll
you stay you. Well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's just another Friday night on the Mike Malloy Show, folks. I got one segment left. I'm not going to play Bobby Vinton. I might play some audio clips. Maybe I'll get a phone call. We'll see what happens. Been a great pleasure to be here all week long. Stick around for the last segment, if you would. Just behind the bridge, he lays her down.
market rounds. My life's a funny thing. Am I still too young? He kissed the woman there. She took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken in a ring.
All night.
She was a young American.
When I get to hell, will the lovely girls come down to the banks of that red, red river? I can hear the laughs when they find I've fallen down again. I can hear the laughs, and it hurts so bad I have to smile.
We are back. It's the Mike Malloy Show. They did something really surprising on Oberman last night, and I'm not sure if this is going to work on the radio, but I'm going to take a shot at it. They took Alberto Gonzalez's opening statement in front of the Senate back in April and juxtaposed it with Alberto Gonzalez's opening statement this week in front of the House. And here's what they did. Here's a little experiment in audio here.
I have provided the committee with
a rather lengthy written statement detailing some of the department's work under my leadership
to protect our nation, our children, and our civil rights.
In recent weeks, I have met or spoken with all of our U.S. attorneys to hear their concerns. These discussions have been open and frank.
Recognizing my limited involvement in the process,
a mistake that I freely acknowledge,
I have soberly questioned my prior decisions. I think we agree on what would be improper.
I think we also agree on what would be improper.
It would be improper to remove a U.S. attorney to interfere with or influence a particular prosecution for partisan political gain.
I would never do that.
So it was a split screen. You had April on one side, May on the other, saying the exact same thing. Now, I'm sure some of you out there have, you recycled an old term paper in school one time, you know, for a different class. But this is the Attorney General of the United States, who must be aware he's being videotaped and audiotaped while making these presentations, yet he goes and reads the exact same opening statement before the House and before the Senate. I'm going to throw a few clips out there from the proceedings. First up, you're going to hear Congressman Wexler from Florida, and then a response by Jack Cafferty today on CNN.
You won't tell the American people who put Mr. Iglesias on the list to be fired. It's a national secret, isn't it?
Congressman, if I knew the answer to that question, I would provide you the answer. I've not spoken with the individuals.
Okay, so you don't know who put it on the list, Mr. Iglesias. Why was Mr. Iglesias put on the list by this mystery person?
Well, again, I wasn't surprised to see Mr. Iglesias' name recommended to me based upon conversations that I had with a senior senator from New Mexico. He had lost confidence in Mr. Iglesias. Let me just say, Mr. Iglesias' story is a great one. It's the American dream. And there are many good things about his performance, and I very much admire him as a person.
But you won't tell the American people who put him on a list to terminate his employment.
I accept responsibility for
this. You accept responsibility for making the decision ultimately to accept the termination list, but you will not come forth and tell the American people who put Mr. Iglesias on the list to be fired.
Quite an exchange. Republicans on the panel urged their Democratic colleagues to put the prosecutor controversy behind them, arguing there's no evidence of wrongdoing. Let's go to Jack Cafferty. He's in New York with the Cafferty file. Jack.
What a loser. Isn't he supposed to run that place? Isn't he supposed to know when people are being fired, who puts them on the list? He's a loser. It's just a loser.
Oh, I love Jack Cafferty. You know, he just cuts right to it. You know, he doesn't waste a lot of words. My favorite curmudgeon is Jack Cafferty. He took over for Calvin Trillin, because I only get Calvin Trillin in really small doses, in the nation every few weeks. But you get Cafferty just about every day. I think I got time for one last caller. Dorothy called in. Dorothy, welcome.
Hi, Jeff. You're doing a great job on my show.
I just wanted to tell you I saw Gonzalez on that C-SPAN, and I watched Olbermann as he dubbed in both of them,
mm-hmm.
and they just were word for word the same spiel.
It's remarkable, isn't it? I mean, most people would think to maybe write a different statement. It's like, again, it's like recycling an old turn paper or something. It's just unbelievable.
He must be afraid to say anything else.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's not like that stellar of a performance the first time that it bared repeating, you know? I guess that's the best he can do, apparently.
Yeah, I do not know. I don't remember.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
I was listening before about this Wayne Madsen. Mm-hmm. How do you spell that?
M-A-D-S-E-N.
M-A-D-S-E-N.
Yeah.
I want to look that up.
Yeah, look him up. Yeah, he's one of these people who put stuff out there, and I don't think I've ever seen a situation where he was wrong. He seems to get has some pretty good inside contacts, and when he gets something out there, you can kind of count on it that it's accurate. So
they sure. I watched that, trying to watch that. I think it was CBS or ABC special last week.
Mm-hmm.
On the madam, and they didn't have anything.
No, they pulled the plug on the information. they promoted the thing like they were going to, name names and all that stuff. And again, you got to ask yourself who's powerful enough to make that happen. And all roads lead back to Cheney. Hey, Dorothy, thanks so much for your call tonight. You have a great weekend and a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Special thanks to Mikey Weinstein for appearing on the program today. Special thanks to Ian Huff. Everything you heard came through his nimble fingers. Thanks to all the hardworking people at NovaM who keep this thing alive. Thanks to Mike Molloy for letting me sit in this chair all week. I've had a great time. Thanks to everyone who called in to contribute. Couldn't have done it without you. And thanks to everyone out there in Radio Land just listening in. I'll be back on Monday. Eric Bollert from Media Matters and the author of Lapdogs will be with me. And, of course, your calls. Have a great weekend. Have a happy Mother's Day. Love you, Mom. See y'all later.